On Monday, February 15th, at 6:30 p.m., Prison Pipeline will air a Valentine's Day special to bring to light the fact that, because of incarceration, many people are separated from their friends, family, and lovers on Valentine's Day. We will be reading your short messages to your friends and loved ones on air. So whether you are behind bars and reaching out, or are out and reaching in, we welcome you to mail or email us your Valentine's messages. Our email address is kbooppc@gmail.com, and our address is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Address your messages to Prison Pipeline Collective. Then tune in on February 15th at 6:30 p.m. to hear your messages read on air.
The KBOO Community Radio Artist in Residence program assists artists working creatively with sound. Every year, one artist or one collaborative group of artists will be awarded 20 hours of studio recording and production time with a KBOO mixologist in order to create a piece of sound art that will be publicly presented at the end of the residency. The goals of the KBOO Artist Support Program are to support and invest in individuals who are pushing themselves artistically using sound, whose work will impact the cultural landscape of Portland, and to bring those artists into the dynamic KBOO community of local, national, and international artists and activists. Applications for the 2016 KBOO Artist in Residence are due February 12th at 5 p.m. More information and application materials are at kboo.fm/AIR2016.
I'm Dr. Demento. This is KBOO Portland, and you are now in the control of the Union of Time Thieves.
Yes, you are in the control of the Union of Time Thieves. Hi, I'm Becky, and I'm your host for today's program. I'm a member of the Union of Time Thieves, which was created to reclaim the world we all live in from the powers of alienation. Using the writings and tools developed by the Situationist International, we hope to break free of the spectacle and to inspire others to join our cause, the revolutionary jamming of culture. Hello, friends. It's the Union of Time Thieves. We have a special announcement for all of you delightful moviegoers out there. A matter of business, if you will. This is to do with the Landfill Harmonic, a part of the Real Music Festival that we are sponsoring at the Northwest Film Center. The actual movie will be on Tuesday, January 26th at 7 p.m. And it is a fantastic film under the guidance of idealistic music director Fabio Chavez. The band Landfill Harmonic must learn to navigate a strange new world of arenas and sold-out concerts. However, when a natural disaster strikes their country, Fabio must find a way to keep the orchestra intact and provide a source of hope for their town. And that is tomorrow, not the other day, 7 p.m. We have an exciting show. It is planned and decreed. Enjoy.
Peep game. Verb, to inform a person on what is happening, to check it out. Let me tell you something.
In societies where modern conditions of production prevail, all of life presents itself as an immense accumulation of spectacles. Everything that was directly lived has moved away into representation. The images detached from every aspect of life fuse in a common stream in which the unity of this life can no longer be re-established. Reality considered partially unfolds, in its own general unity, as a pseudo-world apart, an object of mere contemplation. The specialization of images of the world is completed in the world of the autonomous image, where the liar has lied to himself. The spectacle in general, as the concrete inversion of life, is the autonomous movement of the non-living.
Thank you. are going to get so clobbered in the press. You are just going to get beat up. And I got to say, yeah, I'll go, send me, you betcha. I'm in it to win it.
The spectacle presents itself simultaneously as all of society, as part of society, and as instrument of unification. As a part of society, it is specifically the sector which concentrates all gazing and all consciousness. Due to the very fact that this sector is separate, it is the common ground of the deceived gaze and a false consciousness, and the unification it achieves is nothing but an official language of generalized separation. The spectacle is not a collection of images, but a social relation among people mediated by images. The spectacle cannot be understood as an abuse of the world of vision, as a product of the techniques of mass dissemination of images. It is, rather, the Weltanschauung, which has become actual, materially translated. It is a world vision which has become objectified. The spectacle, grasped in its totality, is both the result and the project of the existing mode of production. It is not a supplement to the real world, an additional decoration. It is the heart of the unrealism of the real society, in all of its specific forms, as information or propaganda, as advertisement or direct entertainment consumption. The spectacle is the present model of socially dominated life. It is the omnipresent affirmation of the choice already made in production and its corollary consumption. The spectacle's form and content are identically the total justification of the existing system's conditions and goals. The spectacle is also the permanent presence of this justification, since it occupies the main part of the time lived outside of modern production. Specialization is itself the unity of the world, of the global social praxis split up into reality and image. The social practice which the autonomous spectacle confronts is also the real totality which contains the spectacle, but the split within this totality mutilates it to the point of making the spectacle appear as its goal. The language of the spectacle consists of the signs of the ruling production, which at the same time are the ultimate goal of this production.
I'm in it to win it. I'm in it because we bend over and say, thank you, enemy. Can I get a hallelujah? He, better than anyone, isn't he known for being able to command fire? That it was going to take more from you and that we would soon be unrecognizable. And this is important to remember, especially those of you like me. They won't be able to be slurping off the gravy train that's been feeding them all these years. They don't want that to end. and his trumpeters and his trumpeters.
Today, in our world of information capital and global empire, biometric control has emerged as a golden frontier for neoliberal governance. A multi-billion dollar industry in security and marketing sectors, biometric companies produce devices like iris scans and facial recognition machines with the hopes of manufacturing the perfect automated identification tools that can successfully read a core identity off the body. Biometric devices are becoming powerful weapons to control and police national borders and citizenship status, track and target a nation or company's enemies and criminals, as well as to profile and parse various sectors of the public into potential risk categories, like activists. Biometrics also determine marketing strategies through standardized algorithmic processing of identification markers such as gender and race.
Biometric technologies rely heavily on stable and normative conceptions of identity, and thus, structural failures are encoded in biometrics that discriminate against race, class, gender, sex, and disability. For example, fingerprint devices often fail to scan the hands of Asian women, and iris scans work poorly if an eye has cataracts. Biometric failure exposes the inequalities that emerge when normative categories are forced upon populations.
Facial recognition technology has become a pervasive, popular device for biometric surveillance, a thriving, rapidly developing part of our new surveillance culture. Facial recognition techniques now range from algorithms that extract landmarks on faces, such as cheekbones, noses, eyes, and jaws, to 3D programs that map the shape of a face, to various forms of skin texture analysis. Typically, faces are collected in databases to compare and search against for a variety of possible criminal activities. For example, in its 2000 presidential election, the Mexican government used facial recognition to prevent voter fraud. In 2001, Tampa Bay police used Identic facial recognition software to search for criminals and terrorists during the Super Bowl, finding 19 people with pending arrest warrants. Within the last year, Occupy activists and Afghan civilians have been the target of massive biometric data gathering sweeps by U.S. police and military forces. The ubiquity of facial recognition now spans from London's massive CCTV network to the German Federal Criminal Police Office, Facebook's facial recognition auto photo tagging, Apple's iPhoto and iPhone, Google's PICASA, U.S. Homeland Security, and the U.S. Department of State, which has the largest facial recognition system in the world, at over 75 million photographs for visa processing. We also commonly experience facial recognition and detection now with our digital cameras that locate faces, and even smiles. Facial recognition has even ventured into the terrain of sexual orientation. The Journal of Experimental Social Psychology recently published a 2008 study conducted at Tufts University that tested people's ability to identify homosexual men from photos of their faces. 90 faces were shown to 90 participants against a white background. The faces were stripped of all markings and accessories, such as piercings and eyeglasses. Even hair was cropped, leaving participants with only the face. Those tested proved remarkably accurate in their ability to recognize faces that had been classified as homosexual, even when exposed to the face for only 50 milliseconds, which is not possible to process consciously. Even when a section of the face was shown, such as an eye or lips, participants still correctly identified the homosexual faces. A similar study recently emerged at the University of Washington in 2012. What could be the benefits of proving to the world that such a recognition apparatus exists? Does it not only further confirm and scientifically validate one of the processes of LGBTIQ stereotyping, categories like fag face and gay face? It is easy enough to claim that these studies parse us into categories that will inevitably be used against us. It offers a visibility that will attempt to control, monitor, and police us. In response to facial recognition technologies, we ask, what are the tactics and techniques for making our faces non-existent? How do we flee this visibility into the fog of a queerness that refuses to be recognized?
Today, there are numerous modulations of a queer politics centering around gaining visibility through recognition. Just think of current debates around same-sex marriage in the U.S. Such calls to visibility typically coincide with a desire for recognition from the state or a longing to be validated by our neoliberal order. But there is also another queer politics that could be said to be concerned with the non-recognizable, a politics that is anti-state and anti-recognition. Let's call it a politics of escape. Escape not only expresses a desire to exit current regimes of control but also to cultivate forms of living otherwise.
We propose to start making faces our weapons. We can create and learn many faces and wear them interchangeably. A face is like being armed. Think of the female Algerian freedom fighters in the 1966 film The Battle of Algiers. They break into occupied territory of the colonizers, in part, by wearing their oppressors' faces or the Zapatistas who hide their faces so that they may be seen. In response to these emerging studies that link successfully determining sexual orientation through rapid facial recognition techniques, we propose weaponizing the face through masks.
In solidarity with Anonymous, Pussy Riot, and the Zapatistas, we embrace the power of the collective face. We make our faces common with a mask and become a faceless threat, the queer opaque. In the tradition of collective protest actions that evade individual recognition, like the Black Bloc, we have produced a collective fag face mask that offers a mutated, alien face that cannot be read or parsed. Our fag face mask, generated from the biometric facial data of many queer men's faces, allows you to wear the faces of many with a single mask, while facial detection claims that a homosexual, terrorist, criminal, undocumented immigrant, or activist can be recognized. Simultaneously wearing the faces of many confuses the apparatus and makes you unrecognizable to it.
Today, in our age of informatic capture, data surveillance, and recognition control, facelessness, escape, and becoming imperceptible are serious threats to the state and capitalism. Just consider the 1845 law that was resurrected by the NYPD in September 2011 against Occupy Wall Street that deemed two or more people wearing masks in public illegal, unless a masquerade party was being thrown, or the mask legislation that is currently underway in Canada. The fag face mask aims to make our faces non-existent to any available algorithms. This non-existence produces its own autonomous visibilities and ways to find one another.
Becoming non-existent turns your face into a fog, and fog makes revolt possible.
Goodness gracious, what the heck would the establishment know about freedom? And if you love your freedom, thank a vet. This idea of the system, the way that the system really works, and please hear me on this, I want you guys to understand more and more how the system, the establishment, works and has gotten us into the troubles that we are in America. It's for crony capitalists to be able to suck off of them. Right-wing and bitter clinging proud clingers of our guns, our God, our and our religions and our Constitution tell us that we're not red enough. Yeah, coming from the establishment, right. Yes, the status quo has got to go. Otherwise, we're just going to get more of the same. And with their failed agenda, it can't be salvaged. It must be savaged. Let me say something really positive about one of those foot in the bill, some of their skirmishes that have been going on for centuries, where they're other people's money, your hard money. Other people's money, your hard money. And it's woven by work ethic and dreams and drive and faith in the Almighty. What a combination. Ready for that? I think you're ready for that. I think you're ready for that. Around the right issues, the issues important to me. Supposedly be looking out for you? No, and to supposedly be looking out for you? No, and no. he doesn't get his power, his high, off of opium. To unify around the right issues, the issues important to me.
It's our pleasure to take you over to Sukkot this evening. Just finishing off the loading and paperwork, we'll be on our way very shortly. Once we're up through the cloud, it's nice flying conditions towards Stuttgart, and Stuttgart itself is a little bit foggy earlier in the day, but it seems to be clearing away gently at 7.
What's that?
Für wirklich gut?
Nee.
Schade.
Du?
Nee, ich weiß auch genug.
German is the land where you can smoke. Rarely watch.
Not that so.
Not that
so. Es war so witzig, als wir die Zigaretten zur Schau eingekauft, als wir zum Dominik sind. So steinig dann gleich aus Nerv zusammengebrochen und geschmissen. Ich habe meine auch nur einen Zug nehmen können.
Wann?
U-Bahn, wo zum Dominik gefahren sind. Yeah. Hast du meine verlangt?
Ja.
Yeah. Bahngleis. Es ging bei mir auch nicht.
No, finally, friends, I want you to try to picture this. It's a nice thing to picture. And the good intentions for America. In order to prioritize, to keep the main thing the main thing, hang in there because help's on the way.
America is waiting for a message of some sort or another. We'll be right back.
sorry, I'm a misunderstanding. I made a mistake. I asked for first one of the
The way that the system really works, and please hear me on this. I want you guys to understand more and more how the system, the establishment, works and has gotten us into the troubles that we are in America.
In societies where modern conditions of production prevail, all of life presents itself as an immense accumulation of spectacles. Everything that was directly lived has moved away into representation. The images detached from every aspect of life fuse in a common stream in which the unity of this life can no longer be re-established. Reality considered partially unfolds, in its own general unity, as a pseudo-world apart, an object of mere contemplation. The specialization of images of the world is completed in the world of the autonomous image, where the liar has lied to himself. The spectacle in general, as the concrete inversion of life, is the autonomous movement of the non-living.
It's for crony capitalists to be able to suck off of them. It's for crony capitalists to be able to suck off of them.
Now you're not trying to move anything. You're not trying to fight your inflammation, but you're breathing into the tissue. You know, inflammation is the first step of healing. Breathing to it is the second one. Your pain is the first step of sensing yourself. But consciously feeling yourself is the second one. When you feel yourself fully, without pain, you need no pain. And therefore, there'll be no pain. Now, breathe down to your thumb. Feel your thumb with every single breath and do it for 5 times. You still are breathing to the rest of your body, but you emphasize the thumb to yourself. Breathe down to the index finger for 5 times. And to the third finger. And to the fourth finger. And to the small finger. Now feel the back of your hand. Feel the different joints in it. Visualize like there is greater and greater space between them. Now, return with your consciousness to your forearm and breathe to it. And now to your elbow and breathe to your elbow. And now to your forearm, and breathe to your forearm. Now put your consciousness in your ribs. In your stomach.
Kind of angry is what we're hearing from the establishment. You guys are
now we're going to go down to your knee.
You guys are all sounding kind of angry.
But don't think that we will neglect your hip. We won't. Think about your knee. If it's a swollen knee, you want to breathe into it. And if your fingers are strong enough, then grab the knee and squeeze it. You breathe deeply into your knee and you massage around the knee bone and you squeeze the skin around it. You pinch and you slowly, slowly move your hand around the knee until you've pinched all the skin around it. And breathe deeply and keep doing it. Even if you don't have any knee problems, it's a wonderful exercise for the knee. Then touch the kneecap and move it from side to side.
You guys are all sounding...
Of course, it's easier to do it with a straight knee than a bent one.
You guys are all sounding kind of... You guys are all sounding kind of angry.
But almost completely straight. Now, do it with your other knee. Squeeze it. And squeeze around it. And then move the kneecap from side to side.
Move the kneecap from side to side.
Now we will return to your hips.
Return to your hips.
The hip is something which is sore with quite a few arthritic patients. And it is sore with patients who have sciatica. And it is sore almost for everyone who even does not have a particular problem. Well, lie on your side.
No problem.
And bring your knee to your chest.
Lie on your side. Bring your knee to your chest.
With your hand.
With your hands.
While one hand will hold the knee, and this is the opposing hand.
In one hand and hold the knee.
The other hand will clench a fist, although not strongly, and will gently tap on the butt, in the buttocks area.
You guys are all sounding kind of angry, is what we're hearing from the establishment.
Hey, this was the Union of Time Thieves. Up next is the Sudden Radio Project, and you are listening to KBOO in Portland. Have a wonderful night. Go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. Listen more to this.
Seconds after the hour. This is the Sudden Radio Project. It's a rerun from about 2003. This program is dedicated to first-time SRP listener Heidi Hinshaw. Welcome to Portland.
Hello, I'm Susan B. Anthony.
And I'm Elizabeth Cady Stanton.
The struggle for women's suffrage was long and difficult.
But we succeeded.
Ultimately, we did.
And cable was an important part of that struggle.
Sure was.
I remember our first interview.
Attempted interview.